Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's just you kind of like the injuries are kind of part of the thing, part of the package that you get when you're talking about Christian McCaffrey.
Hey, Joe, great stuff. We really appreciate your time this morning, and we'll do it again come November 24th when they take on the Panthers. Sound good?
Look forward to it, guys.
There he goes.
Thank you.
Joe Person covers the Carolina Panthers for The Athletic. Obviously, former Panther Eddie Pinheiro, now a San Francisco 49er new kicker. And what I got from that, Joe, if we just get Robbie Gould 2.0, I'm fine with that as a Niner fan, because Robbie Gould was not some guy with a high, you know, like 55-plus yarders. He's not going to do any of that. But 50 and below, money. I think that's Niner fans would take that. Would you take that?
Yes. Yes. I can't explain it enough. Since, like, Todd Peterson going way back when, okay, it's been this is who you've had in a row. Joe Nedney. Was Joe Nedney a guy that would kick the 60-yarders? No. But he was money inside 40, basically. 45, 40 yards, money. All those types of distance kicks. Okay? After him, David Green Acres. Same thing. Mike, now, he did hit a long one and ended up hurting his hip and his groin and really never was the same. Then they got Phil Dawson. What did Phil Dawson do? Almost the same thing. Just money on anything between, like, 30, 45, almost up to 50. Then they had who? Robbie Gould. Yep. And what was he? Same money thing. On those exact same distances. This is exactly what they need and exactly what they should have. Nobody was like, we need more 66-yard attempts. Nobody. Like, not one Niner fan is sitting here like, you know what? Team me up for more 61-yarders.
Well, I could see why in Carolina that might be a premium, because just getting to the red zone in general for that offense is at a premium. So they're like, hey, if we could just get on the outskirts and get these 55-yarders, we can get a couple more points, and they weren't able to do that. So that might be more of an indictment on the offense and the staff in general than it was on Eddie Pinheiro. And it sounded like it was more just politics, if anything, that they just wanted their guy, because he was – as he's mentioned,
five coaches, Joe.
Five.
He had five different coaches.
Five.
Think about this. Like, you got Brent Boyer, who's the new special teams coordinator here.
Yeah.
New coordinator. He got his own long snapper, his own punter, and now they got rid of the kicker. Right?
Yeah.
That's just one coordinator. Guy had five different coaches.
And obviously, Brent Boyer back in 2021 with who? The New York Jets. So he knows a thing or two about one Eddie Pinheiro.
It always comes back to the Jets.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game.
Start calling you Greeny.
Oh, please don't. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. I got my Aaron Rodgers jersey in my backpack. In Odyssey Sports Station, in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. All right. We'll get Dave Fleming on in about 28 minutes. We moved Fleming up a little bit because we are talking about the San Francisco Giants, and what is going on with this team right now? I can't quantify it, Joe. We're trying to. Is it the Drew Gilbert effect? Is it them rallying around Bob? Win one for Bob Melvin. I don't want to hear Bob Melatonin from you anymore, by the way. You can retire that nickname. Bob's staying. Bob, he's a San Francisco Giant next year, by the way. Don't lock that in. Lock it in, Sammy.
Let's let the next 3 weeks play out.
I'm just telling you. He ain't, like, that locker room loves that guy. Elliot Ramos loves that guy. I think Matt Chapman loves that guy. Willie Adames, Rafi Devers.
We'll see. Does Buster love him? We'll see.
I think he does. Does Richie in Queens love him? That's the question. Richie, you're on the morning roast. How about these Giants?
Hey, you know, guys, if this was 3 weeks ago and I called FanDuel, I would have got plus 2,600 that I would be talking them down two on September 10th. Let me tell you. This has been amazing. And how bad they were. For them to come back like this, this is one of the, you know, you can always sometimes in retrospect, you say things that maybe you're getting a little carried away. But as bad and as historic how bad they were,
yep.
For them to come back to win, you know, 13 out of 16, whatever it is, and to pick up six games on the Mets, I've been saying a couple of things, too, guys. Number one, you mentioned Dom Schmidt. You had him on the show, I believe, a while ago.
Yeah.
That guy's a godsend. He has been, he made a play last night. He's got to play first all the time. He just does. He made a play on that play with Lucchese where the momentum's taken him left and he came back right to take that, make that tag. Incredible. And the Adamas plays that shows you how many times have you seen a guy take a shot like that to the knee and they just want to finish their at bat. And for him to hit the three-run homer, everything seems to be going right at this point. So, I'm amazed. I've been saying when they were five back, talking to my brother, who's a big fan like me, watches every game, I kept saying we left two games too many on the table.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because and then not having the tiebreaker. So, in essence, we're three behind. They're going berserk over here in Queens, guys. They are just jumping out of friggin' windows at this point. Because, you know, Manaea maybe send them to the minors. Sanger in the minors. Three rookies that came up. You know, so all of a sudden your foundation for the last 30 games has got to be three rookie pitchers. So
wow.
And you keep saying, yeah, do we think that they can do it? You know, this is not a large 50 game. You know, you can get on a roll and be a mediocre team, and you find ways to win.
The Phillies a couple years ago, Richie, I don't mean to cut you off. The Phillies a few years ago,
Diamondbacks
were yeah. very mediocre. Went on a run at the end of the year, went to the World Series. The Diamondbacks, I believe, a year or two later, did the exact same thing. Houston Astros annually look terrible, and then all of a sudden they flip the switch and they're a totally different team. I just can't believe they're doing it. They had a worse winning percentage than the Chicago White Sox for over 50 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's mind-boggling. Like I said, there's no way anybody could second-guess it. Oh, come on, you had to have faith. No, I don't want to hear about the faith. The faith was gone on more than one occasion. But, yeah, I mean, to think about their bullpen being decimated, the fact that they made, you know, they said that pretty much, and not that we're giving up, but we're getting rid of a lot of pieces at this point. It's incredible to be where they are, have Seymour pitching today. Verlander have been 3-10. You look at that and say, how could they possibly be a contender? So I think, you know what I'm thinking, guys? I want to see 90% Giant fans at Giant Stadium.
Let's go.
This weekend against the Dodgers. It's going to be tough, but, you know, the Rockies swept the Dodgers. So keep winning. You keep winning. I think they got to go 13-6 and hope 500 for the Mets probably. But for right now, the momentum is there, so. It's shocking, guys, but as John Sterling says, that's baseball, Susan.
There you go. Rich.
I don't want to get too down the rabbit hole because he brought up the Dodgers, but a theory that I've had is that, you know, they're the Goliaths. This is their window.
We're going biblical, David and Goliath?
No, it's just like teams have windows. Like, for example, like the Gasol and Kobe Lakers had a window.
They did a couple years.
And then you can kind of get a feeling like, all right, like they're aging out of this window. They're not in win now mode. The Miami Heatles, okay, had a window. And obviously there were some movement of players and Bosch got hurt and whatnot. But like when Dwayne Wade hurt his knee, like that team was done.
Yeah.
And their window, like, completely shut, and then what window opened up? The Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
Now, that's an extreme example. They went on to be a dynasty, the Golden State Warriors. I look at where the Dodgers are at right now, and it is their window. It is. There's this undeniable. Shohei is one of the baddest dudes on the planet. This guy might end up with like 8 or 9 MVPs. Like, yep. That's how good he is. Now, we'll see if he can stay healthy, whatnot. Mookie Betts has had a bad year. Yep. By his particular standards, he's owed hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay. Freddie Freeman has had a really good year, but he is up there in age. He's 33 years old. How many more years does he have like this? Right? Will Smith has had a monster year, but you look at their pitching and it's kind of all over the place. You know, you got some guys having nice years. You have a lot of unknowns. I guess where I'm going at is this. We think that they will be on top forever. And I can see some of the cracks in the veneer for the Dodgers as the Giants are kind of entering a little winning window right now. Now, are they there
today? No, I don't think they're there today. I don't even know if it's in the cards for this year to even make the playoffs. We will see. But I can see that the future is bright. And as our brightness gets brighter and brighter and brighter, I do think some of the shine is coming off the Dodgers.
Maybe.
It's maybe not here right now, but these two trains are coming at each other, and they're going to collide in the coming years.
I just got to say this. I think the National League is wide open. And if there was any,
yes,
if there was any time for a team to sneak in and go all the way to the World Series, why not this Giants team? I'm not saying they're going to do that. Everyone take a step back. Spadoni said no, they're no going to the World Series. But, like, look at the top dogs in the NL right now. The Milwaukee Brewers. What do the Brewers do almost every single time they make the playoffs? I've seen this thousands of times with the Brewers.
They don't have enough enough money to be able to have enough pitching and enough players to be able to win the big games late in the year.
Even their heyday with, like, the Ryan Braun, the Hebrew Hammer, Ricky Weeks, yeah, like those teams, right, when they were really
with
good.
CeCe. That
they
one
always,
year.
They always flamed out. Yeah. Like they always did. The Philadelphia Phillies, they got injuries left and right on that team. Trey Turner with a hamstring now, right? Like, we'll see with the Phillies. Everyone wants to shoehorn them in. I'm not so sure. Then you mentioned the Dodgers.
Well, Schwarber's a free agent, and we'll see what ends up happening long term for
them.
I'm
just talking about this year in general. Yeah. Like,
oh,
if
this team, year. But, I see what you're saying.
But even then, Joe, like, that's what I'm getting at with this, too. Like, it's not like there's these, like, you know, Kansas City Chiefs or Philadelphia Eagles or, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder type of teams in baseball right now. Like, I think people were viewing the Dodgers as that heading this year. The Dodgers don't have the pitching.
Didn't the Boston Celtics quick injury stuff, didn't that kind of tell everybody, like, whoa, anything? I mean, the Niners are a great example. The Niners went from, we're in a Super Bowl window, and I think we all thought it's going to be 3-4 years of consecutive, yeah, after, I'm talking about when they went to the Super Bowl. I'm like, man, this is set up for the next 2 or 3 years, yeah, at minimum. The very next year, they went 6-11. Now, that's part of it's a byproduct of football, but things happen in sports. What we think is going to be a dynasty and this perpetual run of excellence, stuff happens.
Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. On the other side, Dave Fleming, our 95.7 The Game Giants insider, voice of the team. I'm sure he's fired up about Giants-Dodgers this weekend. You should be too. Plus, maybe, just maybe, the most valuable player on this team is Drew Gilbert? What? We'll explain on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Cordelia RV Center.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We do?
So painful.
Yeah, right?
Uh-oh. Did he twist it? Or did he hit it off of his knee?
I think it looked more like a twist. The back leg just collapsed. I don't know if it's a knee or an ankle. But he plants that left foot. And here comes...
Oh, off his leg.
Okay, it was off his knee. I feel better. I mean,
it's always a bruise is better than a twist.
Yeah.
By the way, that sound courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area, Kirk and Guy on the call. Within the first 5 seconds of that call, a fan in the background, rub some dirt on it. It's like he was his dad in the stands. Just get over it. That was literally like probably what my dad said in my first ever Little League at bat. Not Little League, but Mustang League. Yeah, hit right in the wrist, Joe.
Twist it? Or did he hit it off of his knee?
Right there. Rub some dirt on it.
That.
That was great. So
I love that. That is old school.
He gets hit, Joe, on the knee. Then what does he do? Just 3-run jack right after it. Why not? Willy Adames. He's talking about vibes. He's the ultimate vibe setter right now, alongside our boy, of course, Drew Gilbert.
I think one of the best parts of the last couple of months that has really flown under the radar for this team is Jung-Hoo Lee.
Mm.
This is a guy that was unbelievable in the first month of the season. Batted .324. Then went down to .231. And in June was batting .143. So he finished the first half with a .249 batting average. What do you think his all-star, post-all-star batting average is?
Oh, it's got to be in the 300s.
.315.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
.315. Wow. I mean, he's got an OPS of 817. This guy's been unbelievable. And you look at, like, an on-base percentage, you know, close to 400. He's been significantly better in the second half. And if he could find a way, whatever he was doing in June, to not have that happen again, you're going to have streaks and you're going to be good. But like 143, the bottom fell out. He got pull happy and he was worried about trying to hit tanks. I don't know why. And ever since, like, we really saw him fall flat on his face, he's adjusted and gone away. And he's mixed in a couple of bunts. He's mixed in some slaps the other way. This is a guy that almost bats identical against righties and lefties. Do you know how valuable that is in the modern game?
It's huge.
To not be a one-way player who can only bat against righties or only bat against lefties. And I don't know, is he closer to the 250 hitter of the first half or the 315? Probably somewhere in the middle. 285 is the modern 300.
Yes, well, in 250, might as well be 275 from years past, right?
Yes.
And you're talking about Jung-Hoo Lee. That's why I always kind of am grading him on a slight curve this year, and I know you're not handing out Capri Suns and orange slices for, you know, just competing out there. But I did view this as his full rookie season in Major League Baseball. He's coming over from the KBO.
Where he missed almost the whole year in KBO.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like two back-to-back years where he didn't play a lot.
So the fact that he did come out so hot this year, slumped significantly, and then adjusted back makes me feel so confident what he could do going forward, Joe, because if you could adjust at this level in that, and I don't know, in a relative short amount of time, it didn't feel like a short amount of time. We were all saying, like, this is like watching paint dry. It was that painful. But for him to adjust relatively quickly and to be batting 315 since the All-Star break, like you said, it's pretty incredible. He might be the MVP of this team right now.
He's batting 500 in September.
He's batting he's leading the team in batting average in general.
So
271.
It's not just the bat. The glove was bad, too. You know, he wasn't taking charge in center field. He took a couple of bad routes. And you saw probably, I'd say, easily three or four balls would land in between him and Ramos or him and a shortstop.
Well, that last, you know, major Dodgers series that Sam and I were at, he made a couple of errors.
Yes.
Now they won that game.
The one off the glove.
Exactly. And then he blamed, like, him slipping because there was, like, it was, like, wet in the outfield, he said. And we were all really
down. Well, that transition from grass to the dirt.
Yeah.
You know, and the warning track. Yes, the warning track tells you where you're at, but that transition can be difficult.
So now you got the Dodgers coming back. You got to take care of business today first against the D-backs. Get the sweep there and setting up a massive, massive series. Again, meaningful baseball in September for the San Francisco Giants. I mean, it's incredible.
But I would say that, like, not only has his bat been significantly better, defensively he's been better,
yep.
Which I think is a huge element. Because, like, I had questions on whether he could defensively play center field, and I think he's been better, which is really good. I think I had questions about Adames long term at shortstop, and for right now, he's righted the ship. He's made a lot of really nice plays, and I look at the strength of this team right now. Their defense in the infield, when you throw Dom Smith at first base, and Willie's made some plays at first, but Rafi's made some plays at first base, not Willie. Rafi's made some plays at first base, but Dom Smith is their best defensive first baseman. Schmidt at second, Willie Adames at short, Chapman at third. They've been really good the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, just overall.
And a huge part of that is one Drew Gilbert. This kid, obviously coming over, you got that trade with the Mets. He comes over, he's like, I don't know what to make of this guy. You know, you move off of Yaz, so he opens up some playing time. You know, he's not the biggest guy, he's not the strongest guy. He doesn't look like, you know, the Shohei Ohtanis of the world. He's not built like an Adames. He's 5'9". Hell, you and I might be taller than this guy.
Yeah, but in this sport,
I know,
you can have guys like D. Gordon. I mean, Dustin Pedroia is like 5'8".
Oh, I know.
And he was an MVP.
Listen, this isn't me, you know, scoffing at him or anything like that. This is just, we didn't know who this guy was.
Yeah.
He's just some kid, right? He's 24 years old. Didn't know what to make of him. It's like, all right, if you get anything from Drew Gilbert, let's see him. Well, they put him out there, and you know what? The numbers have been the numbers. It's been solid, 230s.
He's had some impact.
He's had some impact in some time lates, but the impact has been felt in the dugout.
Yeah.
And you can feel it through the television screen if you're sitting on your couch. Like, I don't know what's going on with the celebrations, the biting, the choking, but it just fits the San Francisco Giants.
When
we have personalities in the past, like the Brian Wilsons, the Sergio Romos, the Hunter Pences, that stuff works here. We love that in the Bay Area.
Pat Burrell.
Well,
I see Carter's nodding his head as a marina guy. Carter's nodding his head like, I've got many tales of Pat Burrell's travels.
Hey, he was getting after
in the OOs.
Gets after it.
But
there's something to be said about that stuff.
I will draw the line, though, on one thing.
What? Choking?
The choking thing is a little bizarre to me.
I kind of like it.
Just to
kind of like it. I'm into the choking. What can I say? I'm into it. Why not?
Just
a little choke,
for the kids, I do think like that is where I do kind of draw the line, and maybe I'm the old fart, and that's fine. I'll be it. But when he went, they all had like this little like triangle in the dugout where they all put their hands. It's like going underneath the swords back in the day if you were like Robin Hood,
they
go
that.
See your merry men out in the forest after Thank plundering, you. And he hits a home run and he's coming through and he's like sticking his neck out and I'm like, this is so weird.
Well, in fairness, that's not even the weirdest thing that they do in dugouts. I mean, the Dodgers had a celebration where they were like they cup check each other. I'm not talking Mitch cup check.
Okay, that's been around forever.
Yeah, no, but they're like grabbing it. Like, come on. So the choke in general, as we're talking, we're all over the place here. The Drew Gilbert.
If you play team sports, you do weird stuff sometimes.
Exactly.
And
so
you look back and you go, what the heck were we thinking?
Exactly. And we're going to do that here, and it's working. So keep doing the choke job, whatever it is. That's fine. Pat McAfee, by the way. Pat McAfee.
It makes me uncomfortable.
I know it does. That's why I'm going to keep talking about it. Pat McAfee, when he picks up this stuff, that's when you know it's big time. ESPN talking about one Drew Gilbert of the San Francisco Giants.
They're dugouts.
Bobby Benson.
What do you mean they're dugouts?
What is it, Drew? What's his name?
I don't know what his last name is. I think he's like a platoon guy, but he's an absolute psychopath coming and just barking in guys' faces.
What's happening? I don't know what you're referring to. This is a...
This mad dog on the Giants right now.
Pull it up, Bruce.
Who maybe is a big part of why they've been so hot lately. Barking at dogs. Barking at guys like crazy in the dugout. Having guys like grab his throat and stuff. He's a madman.
We got a vibes guy?
Yeah. Here we go.
This is awesome.
Yeah. There we go.
We got face. We got eye black.
Yeah.
So hold on. Who is this guy?
This guy's awesome.
Is he playing?
Drew Gilbert. I think he plays a bit. I don't know if he's an everyday guy. But
what position would this guy be? What is the size, the trait, the build? What are we thinking?
I need to be where he's on.
Yeah. It's every day, brother. He's high on.
He's an outfielder.
I don't think I can play golf.
He's an outfielder.
Play golf on that.
That guy's a corner outfielder, and it's a long season, and they might not make the playoffs. They need some juice. Hey, go and bark like a dog and let that guy grab his throat as hard as he
can. Is that the coach right there?
No,
the guy that he was biting his shoulder right there. Is that the coach of the team?
It's not their manager. It's probably.
But he's biting the guy. Will you pause? He's biting his shoulder here. Pause that one. So he's biting the guy's shirt. Yeah. Is that the coach?
No, that's not their manager. That's probably a coach, amazing. Though.
Can't do that. All right, Drew Gilbert's one of my new favorite baseball players.
Yep.
And it was Pat Burrell.
No, he was biting Robbie Ray, too.
And Robbie Ray.
Yeah, he was biting Robbie Ray.
Well, I see it right here. I think this one is
Pat Burrell.
And they're
like, is that a manager? It's like, no, that's old-ass Robbie Ray, who I love.
Because you got Logan Webb right behind him, who's like, and then he looks like, what the hell is going on over here? Just nibbling literally like a dog. Just like nibbling on it.
I'm telling you, dude. You play team sports. You have some psychos on your team. And those guys, you love them until you don't. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
Charles Haley.
Exactly.
Wow, that's next level of...
Exactly. Dre Greenlaw was kind of that way, guys. Like, Dre Greenlaw at practice would take the helmet off and he'd start banging himself in the head. Then he took the helmet and would bang himself in the head. I mean, you guys have all seen the program where the two guys are headbutting each other and spitting in each other's mouth. Lattimore is a legend.
You're right. I'm looking at it right now. And this is the Robbie Ray one as he's nibbling and like pulling on it.
And Robbie Ray's just like, okay, this is happening.
And then it's just almost like it's a golden retriever there. It's just like, oh, that's just what he does. No one even looking at like the absurdity of it. Logan Webb clapping in the background.
I mean, Joe.
And just like, what?
You could make an argument. Draymond Green at times does things where like normal fan bases would be like, what is that guy doing? Like when he got kicked out of the Memphis playoff game and then did like the Hulkamania and Macho Man like cupping his ears to the crowd and like firing him up. I mean, he just did a podcast where he explained that he had to stomp on Sabonis because, you know, he had to get him back or whatever. Like, Draymond is like on a whole nother level. So are we surprised that a guy like Drew Gilbert is going to be a little edgy?
Well, I wonder if Dave Fleming is surprised.
Draymond Greenlaw.
Our Giants insider and Giants Lions broadcaster joining us on the River Highlands guest line.
Instead of Drew Gilbert, it's Drewmon Greenlaw.
Drewmon Greenlaw. That's, I mean, not that's bad. Pretty,
we got to like combine all three of them.
I don't hate that.
We got to combine all three of them. Those other two guys are great players. Drew Gilbert is still trying to establish himself.
You know what? It works.
Yeah.
The vibes of Drew Gilbert, I will take that 7 days out of the week, twice on Sunday, and I'm sure Dave Fleming will as well. Join us now on the River Islands guest line. Dave, let's just bring you right into it. Have you ever seen a player do what Drew Gilbert's been doing in the dugout and the effect it's clearly having on the players? Good morning.
So, good morning. So the question is, have I ever seen a player eat his teammate's jersey during the game? The answer is no. I've never seen that. I never have.
But Dave, I mean, we can admit the Giants kind of needed some of this energy, right? Like, I don't know if he's even going to be good. Like, we'll see. He's very young. He's 24. And you know this. Your son played youth baseball forever. And so, like, the culture of youth baseball is totally different than the culture of the pros right now. But you could see these young guys that came up in that era, you know, bow and arrowing a walk and bat flipping, getting hit by a pitch. Like, Drew kind of represents the modern game for a lot of the youth players right now. I'm kind of here for it.
He does. I mean, it was interesting to read that Andy Baggerly thing about him, because he talked to all his Tennessee folks, and that assistant coach with Tennessee said, Drew Gilbert's the guy who changed the whole deal here. Like, he gave Drew credit for vaulting Tennessee. You know, Tennessee's now the baseball powerhouse in the country. They were not. I mean, even 10 years ago, they were not. And now they're just pumping out big leaguers, and he gave Drew more credit than anybody. He said he's the guy who came in here and changed everything for us. So, look, is it still to be determined about what level of big league player this guy can be? Yes. Will that determine a lot of how much value he can provide the Giants? Yes. You can't be a cheerleader and take up a 26-man spot for your whole career. That's not possible. But he does have real talent. He's an excellent defensive outfielder. He's a good base runner. He puts the bat on the ball, doesn't strike out a ton. There are a lot of things to like about his baseball game. And I do believe that this Giants team has really benefited from, A, not having to lean on one or two guys for energy and enthusiasm every day. It's a lot to ask of Willie Adames to be that guy every single day. Like, it's nice to spread that responsibility around. B, like, edginess is not a bad thing. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing if the other team doesn't love you. You know, in sports, that's maybe a little rarer than it used to be in high-level professional sports. I don't think other teams really like Drew Gilbert and the whole act and skit and whatnot. And that, to me, is good. The other team's not supposed to like you. And so I think that's a good dynamic, too.
Are you shocked, though, that Pat McAfee, of all people, is talking about him? Like, that is surprising. Like, the Giants have probably never been mentioned on the Pat McAfee show. And the fact that it has kind of swept the nation on the internet, the Drew Gilbert phenomenon, like, that has to be surprising. And it also has to be awesome for the Giants marketing team.
Kind of to your point about, he sort of represents a new generation of baseball and athlete, like maybe part of this is the Giants haven't had a lot of really young players over the last few years. So this transition of, you know, that all the stuff that you're talking about, maybe he's the first one for the Giants who's made it here to this level, who has been kind of a part of that. But yeah, you don't think, probably Rafi Devers' trade was talked about on the Pat McAfee show, probably. But I don't think there's been a lot of breakdown of, like, the Giants' third starter on that show. And that is a good thing. Like, that also is a positive. Like, and if fans around the Bay Area start to talk about this team in a different way, or young kids start to watch because they want to see his reactions, how is that a bad thing? By the way, I think what needs to be said about all this is not an act for this guy. Like, this is who he is, and he did not come here and just invent this stuff. Like, this has always been the way he is, and it's sort of like I think in the draft and maybe even in the minor leagues, other teams scouting, you know, pro scouting of other organizations, I think it was a negative for some teams And it wasn't for the Giants, but this has always been a part of the package with him. This is who he is.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast, our Giants insider and Giants broadcaster for NBC Sports Bay Area. Dave, are you believing this team? Like, is Dave Fleming finally coming around as the free fall is happening in Queens, New York? That team is always seemingly losing whenever I look up on my little ESPN app, and the Giants are always somehow finding a way to win. Now, we got a massive games and series coming up against the Dodgers. We'll get to that at some point in this interview, but are you starting to believe, Dave, in this Giants team?
Yeah, I mean, the door's been open for them for sure. And part of that is the Mets have struggled. So two things have happened. The Giants have just totally transformed. They're playing the best they've played all year. And the Mets have given them an opportunity. Still the math is not in the Giants' favor. It's still long odds. I know that sounds strange because they're only two games out and essentially only three games out. But when you only have 18 to go, a lot has to still go right for you, and you don't have much margin for error. But the Mets' schedule, man, I don't know if you've looked at the Mets' schedule, but it doesn't get it. They play today against Christopher Sanchez. They play tomorrow while the Giants are off against Jesus Luzardo and the Phillies. They get the Padres. They get the Rangers. And then after, then all of a sudden they load up with teams you expect them to roll over. The Mets have a really hard schedule. So they are going through it right now, and I'm sure they're feeling pressure.
What's been the biggest change? Like, what? I feel like I swore this team off seven different ways, and I look at, like, I'm going to pick one guy for me. Jung-Hoo Lee has been a revelation since the All-Star break, and I feel like he's going the other way, and he's doing a lot of different things. For me, he's one of the big changes. For you, what is so different, and why are they winning now?
I think Devers has been the difference maker for me. Devers is a different kind of presence than they've had, and I think it's impacted everybody else positively. I think everybody is fed off Devers doing damage and getting hot, and it's not a total coincidence that his hot streak has led to the Giants' hot streak. Adames has been great. That was happening before. Adames had a great month of July, even as the Giants really struggled in a lot of that month. Adames was playing really well. So it's hard to say that's a difference, but I think, they got two thumpers in the middle. Matt Chapman getting healthy, taking that little time off. Matt obviously was compromised before. That hand thing was, he just wasn't himself. Now that he's himself, it's another guy in the middle of it. Just if you want a big picture something, like not a, because you could go down the line, almost everybody's playing well. Giants were hitting the fastball. Giants were like 30th in baseball in OPS against four-seam fastballs. They're up to somewhere, we'd have to look it up this morning, but they're almost in the middle, which in the course of like 3 weeks, that's almost impossible as a team to climb that much this late in a season. And it tells you, and I don't know why that's happened. I don't know what, I'm down there every day. I'm watching them. They're mostly doing the same work. It's not like they've totally changed their routine or game planning or anything like that. But they are now hitting the fastball. They just weren't doing that before. They're doing it now. To me, that's been a big difference.
More impressive for you, Dave, has it been this offensive kind of explosion here a little bit of late? Or has it been the bullpen's ability to really, after getting rid of everyone and the only guys that you've had since the start of the season now is Ryan Walker and Spencer Bivens, like, has that been more impressive to you? Which one?
Well, the offense has been more impressive to me, but I think the Giants get a lot of credit for finding a way to figure this out. Like, this has been on the fly, figure it out, and they've done a great job. Like, I would say one theme of this season has been, the Devers trade is kind of in a different category, but it's still the Giants remaking their team in the middle of the season, not the off season, not winter meetings, like in the middle of the year. Devers trade, that just almost never happens. But then go down the line and think about, what you're talking about. So no Rodgers, no Doval, no Randy Rodriguez. So you find Joey Lucchesi. He's been great. You find Matt Gage. He's been more than solid. You call up Yoel Piguero, who all of a sudden looks like he can be a part of your future from the minor leagues. He's been good. You find Dom Smith, who's playing corner outfield in the minor leagues for the Yankees in Pennsylvania, and you pick Dom Smith up, and he becomes a bat off the bench, and now a guy who's playing almost every night and hitting 290 and getting big hits and picking it over at first. Like, that's a lot of big league talent that they have found during the season really hard to do. And whoever gets credit for that, I mean, Zach was the pro scouting director before, so that's kind of Zach's former job, is scout the talent on other pro teams. You know, there's two different, there's amateur scouting where you're scouting college and high school, and then there's pro scouting where you're taking inventory of all the players in pro ball. Who do we like? Who could be available? How do we rank these guys? That group for the Giants has done an amazing job this year.
Well, and what does it say, Dave, as we're talking to Dave Fleming, Giants broadcaster, 95.7 The Game insider, what does it say about the job that Bob Melvin's done with them? I mean, this is a guy that was much maligned all season for his inability to have a pulse, at least from the fans' perspective, on the bullpen, and they've been kind of balling out this last month with the makeshift bullpen.
Yeah, it's probably the number one job.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of any baseball managers, manage the bullpen. That's probably the hardest job, part of the job. It's probably the part of the job where you have the most actual impact. It's not like, you know, football, basketball, where you're scheming up X's and O's and, you know, like, let's diagnose and diagram a play to get us a win here. Like, baseball, it just doesn't work that way. So where can you make your impact? You can make your impact in managing a bullpen. That's, Bochy did it brilliantly for all those years. And Bob should get a lot of credit for, you know, finding a way to make those guys comfortable right away. And it's, you know, it's not just Bob, it's JP, it's Garvin Alston, the bullpen coach. Imagine his job this year. You know, imagine Garvin down there watching Tyler Rogers, Camilo Doval, and Randy Rodriguez walk out the bullpen door and never come back. And, you know, you're introducing yourself to guys you've never met before. So he's done a good job with the psychology of that group, with Ryan Walker's ups and downs, and keeping him to where he's been a big contributor lately. All those guys get some credit for that, because that is not easy to do. You look around baseball and you look at the bullpens that start to crumble and fall apart and games are being blown, and that definitely could have happened to this Giants team, and it hasn't happened.
What about Logan Webb? I mean, this guy, you know, top three in most innings pitched, strikeouts, quality starts. You look at his strikeout to walk ratio, it's top 10. I mean, he's been spectacular, and yet somehow I feel like he's still underrated. How good has Logan Webb been this year?
Yeah, I think he is still underrated. I would say he's the most underappreciated true star in the game today. If you ask other fan bases around baseball, nobody brings up Logan Webb. And he is a top five pitcher in the game and has been for several years now. Think about that. Top five pitcher in the game. And I'm you know, you can put Skeens, great, put him in there. Scoobal, great, put him in there. You know, Crochet, I'd probably put him in there now. I think that, you know, 2 years of track record, probably true. And there, you know, there, Christopher Sanchez has been awesome, like other guys, but just consistent excellence. Logan Webb's in that group. And I love the fact that he set a goal this year. I want to strike a few more people out. I don't want to leave it up to the vagaries of a ground ball so often. I want to be able to, and now he's got 200 strikeouts for the first time. He's probably going to lead the league in strikeouts. He's got a real chance to do it. Think about that. Think about if you had said 2 years ago, Logan Webb's going to lead the league in strikeouts. You'd have been laughed at. And yet here he is. He's probably going to do it. Amazing.
You know, it's interesting. Like when I talk to, you know, youth players. I'm like, hey, look, I don't care if you throw 110 miles per hour. If it's ball one, it's ball one. And I always use Greg Maddux as an example. And look, Logan is not Greg Maddux. But in an era where everyone's throwing max velocity, it feels like, he is such a unique contrast to what everyone else is doing out there in terms of location, hitting your spots, not throwing max effort. I hope more guys coming up through the system look more like Logan Webb when it comes to durability and hitting your spots and not walking guys, because I think it's way more valuable than just raw velo today.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think if there's been a lesson of this year or even the last few years, it's even in this era of what you're saying, just let it all hang out, let it go, and we'll pick you up on the back end. That is detrimental to the team over the long haul. What's happening with the Dodgers right now? The Dodgers are still a really good team. They still have a chance to win the World Series. I'm not saying that. But the Dodgers pitching staff, it's sort of snowballed where so many short starts have taxed those bullpen guys. The relievers are just out of gas. There's nowhere to turn. Once you get into that pickle, it's like, okay, now what? Everybody's, you know, the starters aren't going deep. The relievers are running on fumes. Where do we go? Where do we turn? And the value of having a guy who just time after time is giving your bullpen a quieter day, so valuable. And it just doesn't happen that much anymore in baseball. And that above all else is his superpower. Just year after year, just take the ball every time. Yeah, there was a time, I'd have to think back to when it was. I think it was right around the All-Star break or a little bit after. I mean, Webb was you know, kind of quietly talking about, yeah, my arm's not feeling great. It's, you know, I'm not bouncing back. It was like a little concerning. Like, and yet, you know, for him, it was just, yeah, I'll just do some extra treatment and I'll be fine. Like, and I'm not saying that's even a skill. That's sort of a God-given thing. But, you know, Logan just gives that consistency that almost nobody else in the game gives.
Dave, you brought up the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Huge series against the Dodgers this weekend. I mean, you got an opportunity to talk to the fans that are driving around right now, probably dropping kids off. I mean, what would you tell the fans with this Dodgers series at home here?
I would say two things. I would say, number one, this is the first time in a long time where it's felt like when you match up the rosters and just look at the talent level on both sides. Now, do the Giants need more talent? They do. The Giants, you know, still need to work on this overall roster in the offseason. There's still work to do. But this is the first time you start to look at Ramos, Devers, Adames, Chapman, Lee, like, feels a lot different, feels a lot more deep, feels a lot more dangerous to me. So I think it's the first time you can look at these two teams in a while and start to think that, at least on paper, this isn't an overmatch. But you got to do it. And the Dodgers have bullied the Giants for a bunch of years now. You know, we used to always around here kind of take pride in, no matter how the season was going, those games against the Dodgers were going to be ultra competitive and the Giants were going to fight like hell against the Dodgers. And that was a given. And I'm not saying they haven't fought, but it's been an overmatch at times the last few years. And it doesn't feel that way to me, but you got to go out there and take it to them. You got to go out there and play your best, most, you know, inspired ball. The Dodgers are going to come out. I think the Dodgers have spent a good portion of this year bored. You know, and that's part of, you know, you won the World Series again last year. You're in the playoffs every year. You're just assuming, look around the locker room, how many talented guys we have. We're going to get there again. This series will get their attention. You're going to get the best effort from LA. It was like, remember a few weeks ago, the Padres caught them, and then the Padres came to LA and the Dodgers swept them. That's going to be the Dodgers' level of concentration and effort this weekend. And the Giants have to be – the Padres kind of folded, you know, that weekend. If you remember those games, they made a bunch of errors, walked a bunch of guys. It was like the moment got a little too big for them. Giants can't let that happen. They got to – they have to win this series this weekend, and they have to be able to go to L.A. and at least hold their own, but probably win that series too.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast. And Dave, what's a team that we should be circling right now? If I'm a Giants fan, because there's a lot of scoreboard watching. Obviously, the Mets, we know that. They're directly ahead of them. Yeah, you got, yeah, thanks. Shout out the Phillies. Not the Phillies, Karen. We don't want to talk about her. But the Phillies in general, shout out them. But is there another team that Dave Fleming has his eyes and his pen circling, if you will? The Reds, the D-backs, obviously, today. You want to finish off strong there. Got the Cardinals. You just saw them over the weekend. Any of those teams that we should be focused on?
No, I mean, I think the weirdness of the Padres-Reds is if you're a Giants fan, you almost want the Padres to win those games. You almost want to get the Reds out of the way. The Padres are probably unattainable. You know, the Giants lose the tiebreaker to them. They don't have any head-to-head matchups. They don't have head-to-head matchups against the Mets, but they're close enough to now. That is the target. Now, they have all these games. If they ran the table against the Dodgers, then I guess that would be something different. But that still doesn't necessarily win you the division because the Padres are there. So I think the Mets are the team. That's by far the most realistic possibility. So whoever the Mets are playing, Giants fans need to root for that team that day.
Dave, this is a random question, so bear with me here. We're doing like a fan commandments thing. I want to put together the comprehensive list of the do's and don'ts, if you will, of being a fan and attending a game. And Joe referenced the woman that took the ball from the little boy over the weekend in the Marlins game wearing the Phillies jersey. We saw a Giant earlier this year throw a ball, a fan, throw a ball onto the field, which is just moronic. My number one rule would be to not mess with the players or the play that's going on the field. Dave Fleming, I ask you the same question. If you were to create a rule, a fan commandment, if you will, what would it be as someone who stares into the stands all broadcast long for 150, 160 nights?
My number one?
Or any.
It's a tie. My number, okay, I'll give you a couple. If you're sitting down by home plate and all the TV microphones, radio microphones, don't be that guy. Or woman, don't shriek and scream the whole game and bark. Like, come on, like you're ruining it for everybody. So that's that. There's one. Number two, don't do the wave. Watch the game. Don't do the wave. If the wave happened in a commercial, you know, an inning break, fine, okay, but it doesn't. It's like a big moment in the game and you're at Dodger Stadium and it's like, are you people even watching this game? Those are two I'll contribute to the hopper.
I love that. That woman the other day, Padres Giants screaming into the...
The other day, that was like a month ago.
It was so bad. I love you guys. I had to turn it down. I had to go down. It was just, it was awful. I felt bad for you guys.
The usher did too, remember, Dave? Like, because we actually played the sound. The usher came down there.
I thought he did
and
a good job.
And he did a great job. He's like, hey, you can enjoy the game. Let's just, you know, and let everyone else also enjoy the game around them.
Yeah. So that's one for me. Don't be that person and don't do the wave.
There you go. And don't touch our quarterback's helmets.
Oh my God. Gilbert, his first major league hit in the third, and then he hit a fly ball to right field in the sixth.
Oh my God.
Dave.
We got meaningful September baseball, Dave. It doesn't get better than
we
that.
Do.
So this is what we're going to be doing on Sunday, Dave. We got Saints Niners.
Let's go.
10 o'clock. Hopefully Brock Purdy's playing. We know George Kittle won't be. He's on the IR. Hopefully CMC's all good to go. Not on the injury report, so that's good. So we got that at 10, and then right after that, we got Giants Dodgers. So our Sunday is set, Dave.
That's a good little doubleheader, I would say.
Yeah,
that could be a really great day if you're a Bay Area sports fan. Could be heartbreak. That's why we do this. That's why we care.
Well,
right now we're caring about the Giants, which is pretty cool.
Absolutely. Well, there was heartbreak for Arizona State that you were on the call last weekend, right, Dave? Mississippi State,
Dillingham.
Incredible. What do you got? What do you got this weekend?
I have Cal. Minnesota comes to Berkeley, so all I have to do is I don't have to go to Starkville, Mississippi. I drive across the Bay Bridge.
Hey, Dave, did you win any of your fantasy matchups this week? We know you're a big fantasy player.
Yeah, we lost our first Luke Casey beat me in the first week of the Giants fantasy draft. Now, he had the high score of the whole week,
and
we had a pretty good week. I'm a little... I walked out of the draft room. I was strutting. I thought I'm not strutting as much now. I like our team, but I don't love our team.
Who's your quarterback?
Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson. Okay. Yeah. No, we're good at quarterback. we got that position nailed down.
Another fan that commandment. There you go. Yeah, Lamar shoving back the fan. I had no problem with that, by the way. Just don't touch.
Stop touching the players on the field.
There you go.
It drives me crazy.
Dave, good stuff, man.
Have a good one, Dave.
Have a great weekend. Let's go, Bay Area teams. Go teams.
Go teams. Let's go.
We got Cal.
He's rooting for Cal now. You know, big Stanford guy. He's rooting for Cal.
I wouldn't say he's rooting for Cal, by the way.
Giants, Dodgers. I see you guys are all too young. Saints, Niners used to mean something. The 10 a.m. NFC West division rival game. Jerry Glanville on the sidelines.
I mean, Jerry Glanville wasn't
Jim
a Saints
Mora.
Head. Oh, well, was it like an OC or DC?
Way back in the day.
Okay, all right.
Cowboy hats, the Dome Patrol, the whole thing.
Well, because Jerry Glanville was what? The Falcons?
He was more Falcons. Okay. But 10 a.m., we used to go to the South. It was the 10 a.m. I call it the breakfast matchup.
The breakfast matchup.
Dude, I'd be in my PJs, doggy.
I will say this. West Coast is the best when it comes to football watching. 10 o'clock, it's not even close. Getting up there. By the way, I did Hawaii last year. I had a London game at like 4 in the morning if I wanted to watch it. But I can get up at 7 instead. I'm an early riser, Joe, these days, because once you have a kid, you have no choice. But I don't hate the Hawaii schedule, too. That's 3 hours even before us gets up early, early morning. That leads us to the injury report, though.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
No, I don't like the 11 a.m. I like 10. 10 is perfect. I get my breakfast in there, my breakfast burrito, get my avocado, my sour cream, my jalapenos, chorizo. I got it all. I'm locked and loaded. Wait.
Say it again.
Chorizo. Hey, Joe. How would you like to hear some
why
good...
Why did you have to put... Okay,
because
going.
I can.
That's chorizo.
I'm a man of culture. Took Spanish class a lot in high school. How would you like to hear some good 49ers injury news? Do you want that? You want that?
Additional, nothing but bad news.
Additional scans of Juwan Jennings' shoulder came back. And it looks like he avoided any significant injury.
All right.
The 49ers have him listed as day-to-day. And there's a chance Juwan could be available to suit up for the Niners on Sunday in Nolens. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. This coming up, the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We'll discuss on the other side more of your Giants calls. We'll get to them, your texts. But also, I did a deep dive on Kyle Shanahan yesterday in regards to something that no one's talking about this weekend. We have a first-time head coach going up against Kyle Shanahan. His name is Kellen Moore. And I did a deep dive on all the other first-time coaches that Kyle Shanahan has played throughout his career, Joe. And the numbers are going to shock you. And that's on the other side, on the Morning Roast.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.